The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Baba Yakubu
and Priscilla Ouzuanza.
In the headlines, Ebuaku North MP Joseph Bwachi Dankwa Edu shot dead in Accra. Upper East Region Minister designated to construct dams to collect spilled water from Bagri Dam to check perennial flooding. Residents of Edweju in Nsawam face water crisis. Mother and child burned to death at Kukwazua Lamboya, a farming community in Boku, and widow of former leader of Islamic State charged with conspiracy in death of U.S. hostage. Reports reaching Radio Ghana indicate that the Member of Parliament for Ebuaku North, Joseph Bwachi Dankwa Edu, has been shot dead at his residence at Shiashi in Accra. It is not clear whether the NPP MP was killed by armed robbers or a hitman, but police have begun investigations into the matter. We shall bring you more in our subsequent bulletins. The Upper East Regional Minister Designate Albert Adongo says he'll pursue the possibility of constructing dams to collect spilled over water from the Bagri Dam in Burkina Faso to check the perennial flooding that the region experiences whenever excess water is released from that country. He said the dams, if constructed, will help provide water for irrigation during the dry season. The regional minister designated stated this when he and two other nominees appeared before the Appointments Committee of Parliament to answer questions relating to the sectors they have been nominated to head. We bring you a report by our parliamentary correspondent, Dominic Logie.
Three nominees appeared before the Appointments Committee. They are Minister Designate for the Upper East Region, Albert Abongo, the nominee for the Ashanti Region, Alexander Akon, and Neil Antevandapoy, who is going to the Youth and Sports Ministry. They were quizzed on various topics relating to their ministries. First to appear was the Upper East Regional Minister Designate, Albert Abongo, the nominee who told the chairman of the committee that he was tired after 2 hours of grilling, mentioned poverty and low level of education as the main challenges in the region, and pledged to work to enhance the standard of living of the people if given the nod.
One of the major problems of the region has to do with poverty. How do we ensure that the people have steps to improve upon the living conditions? A very short running season, and so one will have to look at how we can enhance farming to improve upon the living conditions of the people. Secondly, we have a problem with education. How to keep program of school going through the school, that you all know that most of them come down here during the long vacations to do some menial jobs, and they end up not going back to their region. That is becoming a huge challenge to the leaders of the region. Collaborate with the various district families to see how we can extend this menace. We need to keep the children in school. Basic things like the school uniform program, by government, school feeding programs, just to see how we can keep these children in school.
John Alexander Akon, who is the current Deputy Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, is heading for the Ashanti region. He said illegal mining, known as galamsey, and the issue of Fulani herdsmen are critical challenges that he will do all within his power to resolve.
It's a very massive situation. So to me, if we don't come back to the table for all the players to be on the part of one team, in trying to resolve the issue, there are players in the team. There are traditional rulers, opinion leaders, members of parliament, and residents. And we should all combine to provide a stronger team that will solve the problem. The moment we divide our funds, we create more problems. I heard that the Mineral Commission will need to be handled well in the context of the fact that there are a map of the gold deposit areas in Ghana. And that map did not take cognizance of the actual development required in the particular area. So people would call it better the opportunity for me to mine gold. But I think beyond the availability, they should also have gone ahead to say that these two ones are not available for mining, these ones are not available for mining. So the supply level is that I think we have been a better option. So I said that first and foremost, those who have to be well looked at and those which are mine level are those who should actually bring forward. So people will not go general and do it.
The Youth and Sports Minister Designate, Neil Antevandapoy, is currently being vetted.
That's all the report filed by parliamentary correspondent Dominic Nwoji.
The chairman of the National Peace Council, Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Marty, says politics is about exchanging ideas in a civilized society. He says this does not call for insults, and as a nation, there is a need to harmonize the diverse opinions of people. Professor Asante cautioned politicians using insults in their discourse to stop to avoid any problem in this year's election.
Politics is about exchange of ideas, people coming up with the way they're going to deal with issues in the country, how they will govern the country, how they will ensure development and all that. It's an exchange of ideas. My ideas may be different from your ideas, but then it is up to the listeners, the public, the citizens of this country to assess, to judge, and then on the basis of that, vote. This is what happens in any civilized country. People exchange ideas. Exchange of ideas doesn't mean you insult personality. Personal attacks don't really contribute anything in terms of the development of a nation. So I will humbly plead with, you know, all politicians and party sympathizers and all that to try as much as possible to avoid the politics of insult and to come up with ideas. Let people know what you will do better than what others are doing or what others intend to do. Once we do that, I think we will be entering into politics of civility, which is what is needed in our country at the moment. So I will humbly plead with all politicians, with all Ghanaians, to be circumspect in terms of the things that we say, especially this year, which is an election year, because we can inflame passion with the kinds of things that we say, and that would not augur well for our nation.
Should there be a measure of punishment to those who would persistently want to toe that line of politics of insult?
I hear people saying that we should sanction, we should do this, we should do that. I think politics of persuasion is better than all these things that we're talking about, sanctioning and all that. It is important for us to be educated in terms of what politics is all about. And once people are not compelled, but people really know that this is what politics is all about, I have ideas. I want to market my ideas, and by marketing my ideas, I don't really have to insult other people. Once we do that, it will be better. I believe in politics of persuasion, politics of enlightenment, and not jungle politics where we think that we have to insult somebody. Then we're going to the state of nature, which is not right.
That was the chairman of the National Peace Council, Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante, talking to George Ankra.
The president of the Mountain View Ghana Conference of the SDA Church in the Ashanti region, Pastor Abankwa Amwakohene, had advised the youth to be cautious in this election year and not allow themselves to be influenced by politicians to perpetuate violence. He said the youth should use their own minds to decide who they want instead of allowing politicians to push them around. Pastor Amwakohene gave the advice when the youth ministry of the conference converged on Aguna near Kumasi to undergo military drills to instill discipline in them. Here's Louise Ofori's report.
The Mountain View Ghana Conference of the SDA organized a drill to instill discipline and respect in the youth. The drill forms part of the conference's first anniversary after it was carved from the Central Ghana Conference of the Church. About 24 districts from the Ashanti region attended the program. The participants were taken through quick and slow marches and displayed by the bandsmen. Addressing participants, the president of the conference, Pastor Abankwa Mwakohene, advised the youth not to allow politicians to influence them with money, to indulge in violence and also take decisions that will affect the nation negatively.
We deemed it appropriate to bring all the youth of the church together for youth approval. As a matter of fact, we are using this occasion to encourage our youth members that the future of the church lies on them. We are counting a lot on them. We believe that the discipline the church has instilling in them go a long way to help build their future and to help so that they will also impart good morals to their fellow young ones.
The chaplain in charge of the Northern Command of the SCA Church and the military officer, Captain George Asamoah, who took the participants through the drill, said the program is to equip the youth with discipline and respect. He said it is also to instill fear of God in them.
It gives you the sharpness, it gives you the discipline, it gives you the sound mind, it gives you how you can relate in terms of sharpness, and it makes you confident. Drill have that aspect of life in everything. So because of that, for us to also borrow that intuition into our youth to be dynamic, we also come in terms of learning it. So we have the Adventist Youth Society, and they are the people of today.
Captain Asamoah SDS used to follow the tenets of Christ always to enable them to stay out of trouble. Louis Ofori's report. The Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Nee Ossan Mills, has taxed the Lands Commission to come out with a strategy to redeem its image. He was speaking at a salt-cutting ceremony for the construction of a three-story office block for the Greater Accra Regional Lands Commission. The project, which will cost 15 million cedis, is expected to be completed in 15 months. Yahya Kwamwa reports.
The building of the office complex has become necessary following the fire outbreak that ravaged the offices of the Lands Commission 4 years ago. The Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Nee Ossan Mills, cited high level of suspicion and lack of trust between customary land authorities and the Commission, administrative bottlenecks, as well as multiple systems of record keeping as some of the problems that are sinking the image of the Commission. He urged the Commission to immediately integrate the various divisions of the Commission into a single corporate body to ensure efficiency.
The public image of the Lands Commission is not very good. A stronger partnership, therefore, is required between the Lands Commission at the national level and management to fashion out a strategy to redeem the image of the Commission as soon as practicable. A high level of resource competition and lack of trust between customary land authorities and the Commission, especially concerning the management of public invested land. Your expertise will be required to restore confidence in this regard. The business post-attitudinal attitude post-close of some staff of the Lands Commission will not be tolerated. I'd like to urge the Commission to exercise and promote the integration of the four divisions into a single public body of the Lands Commission.
The Executive Secretary of the Lands Commission, Dr. Wilfred Enim Odami, commended the Parliamentary Select Committee on Lands and Natural Resources for its support in approving the Commission's request to retain part of its internally generated funds to support its operations.
Yahya Kwamwa reporting.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. A Bwakwa North MP, Joseph Bwachi Dankwa Edu, shot dead in Accra. Upper East Regional Minister designated to construct dams to collect spilled over water from Bagri Dam to check perennial flooding. Residents of Edwejiri in Sawam face water crisis. Mother and child burned to death at Kukozua Lambuya, a farming community in Boku. And widow of former leader of Islamic State charged with conspiracy in death of U.S. hostage. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. A mother and her child have been burned beyond recognition as Sibila. Last Saturday, residents of Kukuzua Lambuya, a predominantly farming community in the Boku West district of the Upper East region, woke up to witness a horrifying incident where an old woman and the son got burned in an uncompleted mud house. According to police, preliminary investigation indicates that the woman, who is alleged to have been mentally deranged, takes care of an old man in the vicinity. As early as 5 a.m., the 45-year-old woman, identified as Anachi Ayambogot, and the 6-year-old son, Kofi Ayambogot, woke up to clean the compound as part of their daily chores. After the cleaning, they gathered the rubbish and kept them around an uncompleted thatched building stocked with straw and millet used as feedstock for the domestic animals. They then later set up fire to warm themselves due to the intense cold. Speaking to Radio Ghana's Isaac Asari, the Boku Divisional Police Commander Chief Superintendent Lovelace Kelachi said the straw suddenly caught fire, and in an effort to rescue their belongings, the two got trapped in the fire, killing them in the process. At the time police got hint of the incident, the two have been burnt beyond recognition. The police is currently conducting full-scale investigation into the unfortunate incident to ascertain the cause of the fire. Meanwhile, the charred bodies of the deceased have since been handed over to the family for burial.
Outgoing Upper East Regional Minister James Zugatega says the tomato issue has come about as a result of lack of visibility studies on the part of farmers. Speaking to George Asakere on Behind the News, Mr. Tega said strategies have been mapped out to address the annual problem concerning production and patronage, and called on farmers not to wait till they start experiencing drought.
We have farmers association. They only come on life when there is a glut. They don't have feasibility. And it's a private entity. Government supports you to sell your produce. But you need to sell yourself more. And like I was telling them last, I said, one, let us see an office where people coming from down south would say, look, there are tomato growers in Upper East. This is where we can go to and we can test their product. Because there is a story to why the women are ignoring us and going to Burkina Faso. And I think we need to sell ourselves more. We need to signpost where they can go and get it. And we need to also convince the women that our tomatoes are as what they used to get when they were buying from us.
The Regional Coordinating Council is kind of the umbrella body of farmers in the region. If the farmers are unable to do that, why hasn't the Regional Coordinating Council, for instance, created that platform for it? Because this problem keep occurring on a yearly basis.
When they brought their issues up, we have taken it and we're taking it very high in the sense that you need to understand why these problems have come about. First of all, there are varieties of tomatoes. Secondly, before Burkina even came in, Ghana had a set plan where they had the first phase, second phase and third phase. We are now in the third phase of production, and as a result they were able to regulate the market and there was no problem about it.
The immediate priority is what to do with the tomatoes that are currently getting rotten.
No, they are not getting rotten. I've told you that when they met, the Nadmo boss is in the region now. We're talking to the Minister of Trade. Don't forget that it's a private entity. So we have to find a way of getting consumers, especially the schools who are on the school feeding program, especially the hospitals, especially where they can buy on large quantities. And that is what the RCC is doing now. We're working around the clock to get people who can now go and buy these things. But I'm saying that we don't have to wait until we foresee a glut. I have discussed with them very extensively, and we have proposed a number of issues that we can do to address this.
James Zugatega is the outgoing Upper East Regional Minister. Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, Mutala Muhammad, says the ministry is creating a platform for private sectors to collaborate with government to rebrand the tomato factory. He said the initiative is to create jobs for the people and also ease pressure of government.
It has to do with our system of farming. That is, government through the Minister of Agriculture and Minister of Trade is looking at alternative ways of farming, i.e. trying to mechanize agriculture and use the dams and the water bodies we have in northern parts of the country as an opportunity. The fact that we can not only mechanize but irrigate our farmland, and these things plants are far advanced. The other issue has to do with our ability to process so that we can store those tomatoes anytime we have. And I think that the Minister of Agriculture is doing something in that direction. Balugu Tomatoes Factory is one major challenge that has been there for a very long time. We have had a lot of people who express interest of wanting to partner with government, how we can revamp that industry, how we can revive it and sustain it. We are simply calling for government to just come out and say that we are pumping more money. In fact, you need to get some partnership with private entities. You need to have a constant supply of tomatoes. Even though you have a factory that is operating seasonal, just as the tomatoes are also produced seasonal. So you are looking at how you can expand and assist out so that they can know that there is a really market for their farm produce, and they also know that yes, if we produce at any point in time, we would have the factory to take them, and all those things are things that we are considering.
Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry Mutala Muhammad, Deputy General Secretary of the General Agriculture Workers Union Edward Kariwe called on Ghanaians to patronize local tomatoes. According to him, tomatoes is not taken as a major revenue earning venture, but it is one of the vegetables that generate income.
We are simply not ready to take up as a major income earning venture for the people. We are also not seeing tomatoes as a potential source of raw material. We are also not seeing tomato as a major changer in the people's life within the sector. Because the fact is that if you come into our market, you have all manner of imported tomato with local names as if they are produced here. The paradox is that if this tomato is produced in this country, certainly we will not have been experiencing the glut. So what it means is that they simply bring in the tomato puree and then can it here and sell it as though it is produced in Ghana. So that is the bane of it. There's no market. We need to create that market. Market is not an automatic or naturally provided. You need to create market. There's no market for tomato in this country. And the market could come in many forms by ensuring that the tomato factories are producing well, by also ensuring that we do not allow our domestic market to be flooded with cheap imports, imported tomato puree.
Edward Kariwe is the General Secretary of the General Agriculture Workers Union. For some time now, the people of Edweju in Insawem have been facing a water crisis. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, the public relations officer of the Ghana Water Company Limited, Stanley Mate, said the company is working around the clock to drill some boreholes to solve the water situation in the area. He urged Ghanaians to change their attitude towards the pollution of water bodies.
The team comprising of the board chairman of the Ghana Water Company Limited, the managing director, and some engineers were at the site to ascertain the situation at first hand. The situation is such that we can't abstract at all for production, and so it's making things very difficult. Now, the measures that we are putting in place, solving the situation within the shortest time possible, is to explore the possibility of building boreholes as early as practicable. So our team of engineers have been detailed to the place, and we are looking at possible areas where we can drill boreholes as early as possible. And the second option is also to dredge the intake area because it is heavily silted and because of the pollution that goes on within the Insawem Adoji area. What is happening is we're just dumping all manner of refuse, sewage, all manner of stuff into the Dinsu River, and gradually it has tilted to the extent that with this Hamilton season, it has dried up the area. So we are unable to abstract at all for production.
One who asks, so why do we have to wait till this stage?
No, we haven't. The water resource itself is being managed by the Water Resources Commission, and the Water Resources Commission has been doing all it can, supported by the Ghana Water Company Limited, so that some of these activities we see. The vacation goes on and they keep doing what they are doing. And so it is very essential that we change our attitude towards the management of our water body and the way we handle it. So the people of Insawem have caused this themselves, and it's a lesson to them, it's a lesson to all of us.
That was the public officer of the Ghana Water Company Limited, Stanley Marty. Authorities and students of Dabokpa Senior Junior High School in the Tamale South constituency of the Northern Region have expressed fear of a potential epidemic as liquid and solid waste take over classrooms and compounds. Residents have turned the school into a latrine, defecating all around with impunity. A refuse container in the compound, which serves the community, has not been cleared for months, posing health hazards to the school. The school is not fenced, allowing animals and motor riders to distract students during class hours. According to the headmaster, Adam Majid, over the last 2 years, students spent hours in cleaning the compound and even some classrooms before starting lessons. He said repeated appeals to the chief of the area have not yielded any positive results. Mr. Majid said the situation is more serious on Mondays after the weekend break. He therefore appealed to the Metropolitan Assembly to look into the matter to enhance effective teaching and learning. According to Assemblyman for the area, a report on the situation has been forwarded to the MP for the area, Haruna Idrisu, and hopes adequate measures will be put in place to address it soon. Apart from the sanitation situation, most students study in dilapidated classrooms, some with leaking roofs and broken windows. Furniture is woefully inadequate, compelling the students to make do with a few chairs and tables. Onto the foreign front, South Africa's top court is to rule on whether President Jacob Zuma should pay back $23 million of state funds used to renovate his rural home. A 2014 report by an independent watchdog said Mr. Zuma had benefited unduly from the upgrades. He offered to pay some of it back, but the case brought by opposition parties is going ahead regardless. Large protests are expected, led by former Zuma ally, Ten Fears opponent Julius Malema. The Constitutional Court in Johannesburg will also rule on whether the government flouted the law by ignoring recommendations of the watchdog known as Public Protector. People in the U.S. state of New Hampshire are set to vote in the contest between candidates seeking the Republican and the Democratic Party nominations. The candidates made the final appeal to voters yesterday ahead of the first state primary in the race for the White House. On the Republican side, frontrunner Donald Trump hopes for a better performance than in last week's Iowa caucus, won by Senator Ted Cruz. The main Democratic race is between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Mr. Sanders, a senator from neighboring Vermont and a self-proclaimed Democratic socialist, is hoping for victory in New Hampshire over former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Mrs. Clinton, who is backed by Democratic establishment, narrowly won in Iowa. The widow of a former senior leader in the Islamic State has been charged with conspiracy in the death of a U.S. hostage. U.S. authorities said Kayla Mueller was abducted while working in Aleppo, Syria, and died last year. The woman charged 25-year-old Nizreen Assad Ibrahim Baha, known as Sayif, is currently in Iraq custody. Prosecutors say Sayyaf kept Ms. Mueller captive, allowing her to be repeatedly raped by IS chief Abubakar al-Baghdadi. Her husband, Abu Sayyaf, is described in an affidavit as IS Minister for Oil and Gas, reporting directly to Baghdadi. So in the news, the main points again. Reports reaching Radio Ghana indicate that the Member of Parliament for Ebuaku North, Joseph Boachi Dankwa Edu, has been shot dead at his residence at Shiashi in Accra. It is not clear whether the NPP MP was killed by armed robbers or hitman, but police have begun investigations into the matter. Upper East Regional Minister Designate Albert Adongo says he'll pursue the possibility of constructing dams to collect spilled over water from the Bagri Dam in Burkina Faso to check the perennial flooding that the region experiences whenever excess water is released from that country. And the widow of a former senior leader in the Islamic State has been charged with conspiracy in the death of a U.S. hostage. The news was presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Priscilla Oluzuanza in Accra.